Today here we have Scott Paschal. Scott has been one of our writers. He's been a guiding light from day one with regard to the NBG and our mayor's rides, and he's been total tough. And I think that it's going to astound our listeners to find out that Scott Paschal, the man for the two-wheel road, has come down with cancer. What's that all about, Scott?
You know, it's one of those things. It happened to anybody at any time. Just you're healthy as a son of a gun one day, and the next day they're telling you, boy, you're in trouble. Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Hmm.
That had nothing to do with, you know, smoking or drinking or carrying on or eating French fries. It's just sometimes it just happens. And there's a lesson in it somewhere, and my job is to find the lesson and see what I can do to come out on top.
Okay, so what do you think, when you initially were, how long has this been going on? How long have you kind of sensed that there was something kind of crispy going around all this, around your inability to feel like a chronic sore throat, and what else,
like beginning of the year, right, I got a full physical.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little lump on my neck, and I said, you know, check this out. I don't feel good about it. And we did everything. They checked all kinds of stuff. They said, don't worry about it. It's just this, you know, small problem goes away or it doesn't. You know, we can take care of it later, but it's nothing to worry about. So I didn't worry about it. And being a school teacher, I waited kind of till the end of the year to get it taken care of because you don't want to the continuity of the... And, around June, it just started getting bigger and stuff. So I said, you know, this is really getting bigger. And they said, whoa, it's not only bigger, it's in your lungs, it's down your neck. You've got full-blown crazy cancer, guy.
Huh.
Your life is now insane.
Let's talk about that for just 1 second. Scott, you teach what grade?
Eighth grade math for 27 years.
Down there in Capitola, which is by Santa Cruz?
Capitola now, yeah. Capitola,
wow.
Cute little town.
Uh-huh. And what do you teach? You teach math, is that?
Yeah, math, algebra, pre-algebra,
huh.
Miscreants. I teach miscreants.
Miscreants?
I mean rowdy children.
Okay. I thought it was a new kind of chaos math or something like that, like what Ralph Abraham teaches up at UCSC or something like that. Okay, I was like, this is brand new. Chaos math, miscreants, got it, okay. So how are you feeling right now, this very moment?
Well, I had a chemo 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And the first week of that, you feel kind of sluggish and whatever, but I've been exercising every day, walking, riding my bike, hanging out. So, but it comes up and it gets kind of weird every once in a while where it just gives this pain in the neck, literally. And you just live with it. And hopefully the next chemo will make it less and then less. But it's got a poor prognosis in general. So it's going to be a lot of luck and God, you know, because some make it, some don't.
Mm-hmm. So you're reading a lot of books. You're reading Lance. You're reading, studying his life. What else
are you doing?
What else are you doing over there?
Well, doing a lot of thinking, doing a lot of meditating, working on visualization, you know, and working on diet. I'm supposed to eat 6 to 8 times a day because the result of this cancer, I'm anemic, and so all my red blood cells are getting destroyed. Everybody's getting destroyed. That's the problem with chemo. It just goes in there and arbitrarily just starts whacking everybody. Good and bad.
Everybody, yeah. Meaning all of your cells.
All your cells, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Wow.
So then you got to do all this replenishing, you know, protein and all that to try and, you know, stay on top of it again.
Uh-huh.
And everybody has a theory. No, be a macrobiotic. No, do this. No, do that. But right now I'm pretty much doing the traditional diet way, just following their game.
So what do you feel like there is a – do you see light at the end of the tunnel, Scott?
Not yet.
No?
It's too early to see any light. One of the important lessons they say about having cancer is acceptance. mm-hmm. and then just working and waiting and staying positive. But light is it's a tough thing. Even people, you know, they almost get it beat. Then all of a sudden, wham, it's back in a new place or something.
Uh-huh.
So if you get too excited or too, you know, oh, boy, it's all gone away, then, you know, you're setting yourself up for stuff later. So I'm just being real patient with it and working with it.
Well, you know, when we rode from Monterey to Santa Cruz, which just fully astounded me, you know, you'd been like, what, a week before, 9 days before, you'd been in a hospital bed getting your lungs vacuumed with a hose the size of a, you keep saying garden hose, I keep thinking fire hose. And so, what, they got a gallon of fluid from your lungs? Is that what it was?
Yeah, what happened? Yeah? The cancer, like, ate a hole in my lung lining, so.
Uh-huh.
Liquid just filled up. I went once, and they drained it, pulled out a gallon. A week later, it was full again, so then they said it's into the hospital time.
Wow. So is it still draining then? Is it still happening that way for you? Or
no, that's a light. If you're looking for a light, that thing is fixed.
Okay.
And I went back the other day, and they said that's all fixed.
So you're not draining
it. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Good. Far out. How did you feel after the ride, after 45, 50 miles riding from Monterey to Santa Cruz?
I was beat. I was beat, but you know, with so many friends and so much positive energy and all that, that I just felt great.
Mm-hmm.
It felt great that I was able to do that after a week before being, you know, laying in a bed, barely being able to move,
mm-hmm.
being able to get up and do a part of the NBG. I couldn't imagine me going through a year without having a leg of the NBG on my belt.
No kidding. Wow. So what kind of wants to be asked is Roberto and all your buddies, are they still coming around kind of?
Oh, everybody's great. Yeah. Buddies are everywhere. Matter of fact, we're going to go a little backpacking trip. Sunday, Monday, go out to Point Reyes, spend a couple nights.
Uh-huh. I hear Mayor Bob was down.
Bob was down. He's very cool.
Yeah.
Bob Arnelis, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very positive, very supportive, you know.
Huh.
That's
so
what I found a lot. I've got people drop off meals, people come by just to talk or walk with me or, you know, just try to keep me positive. So.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Are you, besides Lance Armstrong, what else are you reading? What else in the way of keeping your attitude, your fire is like it inspires me. It inspires me to know you did the ride the other day, the other week, and that you're stoking this positivity. Where's that coming from?
I think my mother.
Your mother, okay.
Yeah, she just got a pacemaker put in her chest the other day, and she goes, "Oh, I didn't want to call you and worry you." I go, "You gotta be kidding me. Worry me." So, you know.
Yeah.
She's just tough, so I think I get a lot of that mom stuff where, you know, just suffering is a part of life, and you just deal with it and move on.
Huh. Well, you know, you've always been one, like what we found with talking on the ride-up, also talking with your buddies who've ridden with you over the years, your fellow co-conspirator adventurers, it seemed like what they kept remarking about you was that you always took the unusual path. You always did the most unusual, different journey, you know. And you're always the one that kind of break a pattern and do something that was different. It was always like that. And then we kept talking about that, and the same thing with your cancer, which is extremely unusual, for which there's no known cure, and once again, you're going off into, like, the exploration part of things.
I guess. Yeah, I'd rather not take this one, but here it is.
Yeah. Do you have the capacity, you think, Scott, to be able to laugh enough at this that you'll be able to kind of get to the other side of it? I want to listen to
you. Yeah, well, I feel like I can, but, you know, it's not up to me, you know. There's people, you know, I've met people, and they're, you know, their ex-wives and whatever, and they prayer groups and positive, and they die, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And other people kind of just take it as it comes, and they live. There's no formula for some mindset or some attitude or some breakfast that's going to cure you. You know, just hope for the best. I'm in the moment. That's what I feel. I'm right here. I'm in the moment. I'm happy to be alive and in the moment. Whatever the next moment brings, it brings. But I'm not doing a whole bunch of looking forward and going, you know, like they give me a prognosis. Well, the average person has 2 to 3 years to live. I don't even, that doesn't mean anything to me. You know, what do you mean? I'm not average in the first place.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean by you're kind of breaking the mold.
You know?
Breaking
who
the mold.
Knows?
I want to just, for our listeners, kind of read off a list of your NBG and just in general your riding experience. You've been across the United States twice on a bike, both times from west to east?
Both times west to east, once with a recumbo, though.
Okay, recumbent being an easy race for the one I have.
Being a tour easy.
The one I'm riding right now, the one that
there
I have
you
from you.
Yeah,
okay.
My old boy, yeah.
There we go. And in 2004, you rode the... Boise to Salt Lake. You broke new ground with that and a ride that most people that even entertain the thought of doing that ride, that no way. It was all freeways and interstate, the same thing as freeways. Hot, humid, ugly, nothing to see. You turned it into like a, it was a tremendous tour for you, correct?
I met the Buddha.
He met the Buddha, exactly. And so for our listeners, if you want to see that slideshow, it's at our gallery. And it's one of the more popular slideshows there, along with your ride down from Eugene to Napa, where the slideshow we have for that is also online, one of the most popular shows. You take great pictures. In 2002, you rode from Boise to Portland. And then you also rode from Santa Cruz to Yellowstone. You rode... from Lassen to Santa Cruz. Is that the direction you took? You started in Lassen?
Yeah, we rode up there, dropped off his family to camp with Ed.
Okay.
It's called the Spine of the Sierra Tour.
Okay. And then you rode from San Diego to Dodge, is that?
Dodge City.
And where's
Dodge?
That
was my first time to try to go across America, and I got to Dodge, and I said, I'm done.
Where's Dodge City
at? The Midwest.
Dodge, which state?
Kansas.
Oh, okay. Okay, Kansas. Oh, got it. All right. And then you've been up and down the Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And you've ridden from Portland to Bar Harbor. I didn't
That's
quite.
Maine. You know, Maine.
So you rode in Maine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maine coast. I've ridden all over the place.
Yeah.
A bunch of Europe stuff. A couple tours through Europe.
Yeah.
Loire Valley, France, England.
How come those aren't on your resume?
You know, you get tired of praising yourself after a while.
Come on, Scott. Pay yourself some value. And also,
there's
this
so many. I just ride a lot. I teach.
Uh-huh.
So most summers I do at least one bike tour and at least a couple backpacking tours.
And you, when you say you've been up and down the PCH, you've been up and down the Pacific Coast Highway on a bicycle or on a mountain bike?
Different kinds of bikes. My first bike tour was on a Miata geared for like the Tour de France, and I rode it from Santa Cruz to Salinas. No gears, nothing. Everything was wrong. It was the stupidest thing. But I was ignorant. I had a great time. And I got to Salinas, I go, dude, what are you riding? Try getting some gears. Oh, you could do that? You could actually make it easier? I'll do that.
I love it. Wow, that's awesome. And one thing also I used to be blown away, I'd come over to visit you and your cool little digs that are right by the ocean, and you always had a new cutting-edge product that you were going to try out next summer or that you'd done some research on and were figuring out how to make it work with your bike. That was something for this summer you were, when you were going to ride from Boise to Eugene before you found out about this cancer stuff.
Had what, my ticket.
Yeah. So what kind of new products did you have when that was you were going to try out for that? Was there anything that you missed not being able to try out?
There? I had a new sleeping bag, ultra lightweight. That's the thing. It's like they're putting so much effort into ultra lightweight now for backpacking, and all that stuff just goes right into bike touring. I mean, when I first started bike touring, I'd do front panniers, rear panniers, you know, truck bag, handlebar bag. Now I'm always just rear panniers. Everything fits in there because everything's so lightweight.
Wow. So. Well, so are you going to ride with us in 2007, Scott?
That's my plan.
All right. All right.
There for the grace of God, you know, we're just praying and hoping, and I'm going to work. You know, I'm going to be working in September right away.
Yeah. Now, tell them, listeners, you've got a gal who offered to cover for you when you...
Yeah, I had a friend that she's teaching at the university, found out about my stuff, found out about it in Hawaii. I don't know, you know, the word gets around. Called me from Hawaii and said, any kind of time you need off, you know, a week here, every 3 weeks, that's what I plan on doing. Or if I need 8 days or whatever it is, you know, she'll rearrange her schedule and she'll be my partner and make this as smooth as possible and take that huge weight, because teaching is like a kind of intense occupation and it's very involved. And if you get a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing in while you're gone, you come back and it's just insane. And I don't know that I could deal with insane very well. Usually can. I'm known for insane, but you know, now I want to come back and, you know, be this, you know, mild, gentle, you know, peaceful soul in eighth grade middle school. And hopefully they'll respond. I mean, I think they will, too. They're fine. He's got cancer. Give him a break.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so are you looking forward to getting starting again this fall?
God, no.
No? You're not looking forward to it?
No.
No?
No, working and... you know, I'd rather just, I wish I were rich. I would retire, you know, and just quit. You know, it's going to be hard, you know, to do all that, you know, planning and working and chemotherapy and the stress of the whole deal and, you know, eating like I'm supposed to be eating and not stressing. It's a complicated thing. I'd much rather, but one must make a living.
Can't you get some kind of work disability?
Yeah, but I'd have to sell my house and move into a double wide, you know. They don't give you enough money to pay, you know, the mortgages. What was I reading in the paper yesterday that they said this teacher started, she was making $35,000 a year. They said, that's only $180,000 a year less than she needs to qualify for a home. So that's the way it is in Santa Cruz. This is a very expensive place to live. And I can't retire forever. Even though I've been doing it 28 years, but I worked private school, didn't count towards retirement. So, but it's all good. It's all a lesson. It's all a part of my mission. You know, I'm supposed to teach. I'm supposed to get over this. You know, kids need my energy and my expertise and my brilliance and all that.
Yeah,
so
and
that's
those,
good.
And those words are not they're not to be taken lightly. You know, I mean, you're one of the more popular middle school teachers, I'd say, in the state. You know. I know, at least for sure, in the Monterey Bay Area, you're one of the most popular.
I do a good job. Kids like me. I'm entertaining, you know. And they learn.
Yeah.
They leave and they go, whoa, I don't know what happened, but I'm smarter. I know what happened. People tried before, nothing stuck. What did this guy do?
Wow.
But I've been doing a long time, and I got the right attitude. And I use a lot of technology.
So do you think that your kids will be able to feed you healing energy? Is that something you might be able to possibly look forward to?
Possibly, but my big concern is that they're going to send me, you know, sick energy too. Because when you do chemo, you're hypersensitive to all infections. And kids come in, they blow snot all over the place.
Oh,
yeah. They see it in your face, go, oh, sorry, dude. You know.
Right.
And they don't mean it, and their parents send them to school, and they shouldn't, but parents go to work, and the kid's sick as a dog, and, you know. And I work in, like, trailers that are not, you know, they don't have any kind of real ventilation or anything. They're old, you know. So that's the problem. I mean, I'll definitely being around kids and their energy has always been a uplifting part of my life and kept me young and, you know, and positive and all that. But it's going to be tough. I mean, there's going to be Purell on every desk and Lysol hanging from the ceiling, you know.
Wow, I never thought about that. That's interesting stuff you got going on there, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, some teachers have even come in. One teacher down the hall, she had breast cancer, and she wore a mask, but I can't do that. So she wouldn't get out of, you know, it's like, I'm not going to do that.
No? Wow. So is it such then you think that you're going to feel better as time goes on or feel worse? Or what's in your mind around that?
Hey, you know, I want to feel better. That's the game.
Uh-huh.
You know, the name of the game is feel better. When I went last this week, my tumors had gotten smaller by 25%.
Right on.
One chemo treatment.
Uh-huh.
So that's
right
a very positive thing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, my goal is to make it disappear.
Uh-huh.
Positive energy, keep it going,
right
do the
right
chemo,
on.
Eat right, meditate, visualize, and boom, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I'm fighting some stiff odds, and maybe I will and maybe I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I just have to do today.
Well, you know, it's funny, Scott, just in my own experience with my head injury, because I had so many deficits and so many things that I had to kind of process and learn over again, that every day I had a chance for a victory. There was always something that got better, whether it was an ability to fasten a button a little bit better or tie my shoes or something, you know.
Right.
Are you finding that there are things that you can, besides the 25% reduction in your tumor, are you seeing any other signposts that you can kind of key off of? Or
kind of, I feel a little stronger, but it's not like I'm doing motor development.
Uh-huh.
It's cancer, it just
right
grows.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with it, it's gone to my lungs, and lung cancer is a very odd thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was Christopher Reeve's wife, 44, beautiful, young, healthy, mm-hmm, got diagnosed a couple of days ago with lung cancer. It's an odd cancer because it doesn't show up.
Uh-huh.
It just all of a sudden, when it's real late, just appears, and now you have
uh-huh
it.
Uh-huh.
And then it grows.
Uh-huh.
And then either chemo makes it stop or it doesn't. You know,
mm-hmm,
and you don't really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really feel it debilitating you, but you don't feel it getting better. You know, I feel better because I'm, two weeks away from chemo, but I know when I do chemo again, you get whacked again.
When you talk
then
about
you build
chemo,
yourself back up for 2 weeks, then you get whacked again. You know, that's the name of that game.
Uh-huh. Well, Scott, you talk about chemo and chemotherapy. We hear it talked about a lot, and
yeah,
we kind of we know essentially what it is. It's a process that kind of addresses cancer and carcinogenic
right
cells in your body. And it wasn't until I spoke with you the other day that I figured out what the mechanics of it were. You said
I didn't know about it when it was until I got it, so.
Now, you sit in a chair, and they just run tubes into you or something like that?
Well, they just do an IV into you, and they drip in different kinds of drugs.
Uh-huh.
Depends upon what you're doing. One of them they're doing to me is platinum,
uh-huh,
which is this heavy metal.
Yeah.
That if you don't get it out of you real quick, your liver gets shot.
Uh-huh.
You know, so first I do this platinum thing, and they do that. And then they try to flush it out, and then they throw another one in on me called Taxol. And,
mm-hmm.
And that drips, I'm in the chair for 8-9 hours. And that's the day. The day is sitting in this nice chair. It's not like this miserable thing, you know, doing chemo with, like, lights flashing and buzzing and electronics going on. You're just sitting there, you know, reading the paper.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said that you've got guys come in, you play cards and...
Yeah, friends come over, you know. You're allowed to, you know, have buddies over there in the room. I mean, it's a room full of people, so...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Huh. You know, and so you can talk to them and meet people and listen to their stories of success and non-success.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes every way. I mean,
just hang out in a chair, huh?
Hang out in a chair for today.
Wow.
Try to get a window seat.
And you're doing this at Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz?
Right, yeah.
Right. And so your trips to Stanford, or those are no more because the lung stopped dripping and bleeding
it
into
itself?
It
was the itself lung, yeah. The lung specialist was there. You know, I might have to go back for other things, but for
uh-huh
the most part, they're just going to run this chemo thing to see if it works. And if it works,
mm-hmm,
if not, we switch and try something else. I mean, and it's tough. I mean, they tell you, they go, okay, well, if you start to go blind in one eye, then we should stop this. If you lose all feeling in your fingers and toes, well, it's time to stop it. You know,
uh-huh,
it's like, yeah, well,
wow,
I think so. But it's brutal. You know,
wow,
it's a tough thing. But nothing like what Lance went through. If you read the book and see what he went through, his chemo was like insane.
Uh-huh.
And they've gotten better. They've gotten better at that anti-nausea stuff. I never really did get nauseous. I never threw up or, you know, paid homage to the porcelain god.
Hmm. Right.
Porcelain
god
pretty
being
okay. Huh?
Porcelain god being you didn't sell Buicks.
Exactly.
As the saying goes, selling Buicks meaning Buick.
Buick.
Yeah, right. Wow.
I didn't. So I didn't have much of that, and part of that's the medication that they have now. And then my constitution too, you know. I have a pretty good constitution. I've always taken care of myself. My health is always good. I always ate well. You know, I was very health conscious. I ran, I rode. I was always in the mountains. I live on the ocean, breathing ocean air. I did everything pretty much I thought I could do to make it to 100. And all of a sudden you go, oh, you should have, but you didn't. You got
so how old are you now, Scott?
53.
53. Wow. So, well, you're going to make probably 103 still, though, huh?
I'm hoping. I'll take 75.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take 75.
You're going to raise the bar a little bit
off
that. That
always ordinary to me, 75.
Yeah.
But, you know, 60 is a stretch. And I'm hoping for 60.
Yeah. Well, I think that you should hope for...
I'd like to outlive my car payments.
Well, as the saying goes, you know, it's better to shoot for the moon and hit a bird than to shoot for the ground and hit a rock.
I guess, but the real thing for this thing is be here now.
Yeah, thanks.
And all that fanciful future stuff is just don't even.
Right on, Scott. Tremendous lesson.
Be here, make the most out of this moment.
Exactly.
Next moment will take care of itself.
Right, so it's teaching just a major appreciation of everybody and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been hugged so many times, and it's just, it's a huge loving experience. You know, I would never know how much people cared. I'd rather I never found out, but it's amazing the impact that I made, you know, on people.
Yeah, you're an incredible dude, man. You really are. You're just a fun guy to be around. And I know that I don't want you not to be here. And it's kind of like why I've I feel it really for anyone. You know, as the saying goes, you lose one person. I can't remember the exact. There's some kind of saying around that, around the fact that you lose one person, it's like a part of you, you know. And it doesn't matter. When the death bell tolls, it tolls for you, you know. So I can't remember exactly. Dawn or Dunn or something.
I'm a part
like
of the whole NBG family. It feels like another one of my appendages, you know.
Right on.
I'm glad to be a part of that. I think that's a wonderful thing.
All right,
and
Scott.
It's there, and it's such a good thing, and it's got such great people. And just on our, you know, Monterey to Santa Cruz trip, some of the people that I've known about a long time, like Max Chen and stuff, that never had any time, really spent any time with, and found out, you know, how great these people are. It's just a great family.
Yeah, and Don Loomis. Did you get a chance to meet
Don Loomis?
Don Loomis,
great guy. You know, reading about him forever. And you know, kind of casually talking, but
who's that now?
A little deeper now.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Well, Scott, I'm gonna sign off. I'm gonna let our listeners just understand they've spoken with. We just now had an opportunity to visit with just a regular guy, a regular dude that is kind of processing a cancer situation. I know Scott well enough to know that he's gonna get beyond this. It's just another adventure that he's kind of chosen to kind of sort through and figure out how to get to the other side of this stuff.
Bump in the road.
Yeah, bump in the road. Gonna have a large speed bump. So, Scott, thanks for the time you spent with us today. Okay,
we'll
keep checking in and seeing how you're doing and stuff. And it's been an honor and a treat to talk to you today, guy.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Mark.
All right, Scott. Thanks for you, man.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.